Blog Talk Radio.
Blog
Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fastest growing podcast on the internet is not this one, but this one should be, because Jake Pittman is fucking hysterical, and he's brilliant, and he's funny, and I don't know why I only have 40 goddamn 7 listeners. I fucking listen to the show. Actually, I can't even listen to the show. All I do is fucking ramble on. I never get the goddamn point. Put your hands together for the greatest podcast host this side of Marina Del Rey. It's Jay Pellet.
Oh, God, I love that intro. It is a little long. It's a little long. Anyway, welcome to the Jake Pentland Show. It's just me and Jen today. Eli could not make it. We are pre-taping. So, Jen, say hello.
Hey, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We got a packed show.
Did you get a good
show.
Night's sleep?
Oh, what's that?
Did you get a good night's sleep?
No, ooh. I did not, because you were arguing with a porn star and texting me at 4 in the friggin' morning.
Was it 4 in the morning? Gosh, I don't even know times anymore.
Well, I'm in Hawaii. I'm 2 hours behind you. So when you texted me at what was, I don't know, 7:30 to you, it was 5:30 to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why I was upset. Yeah, you should be. But your tweeting wars are very important to me, so I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
We got a packed show today, but we'll probably want to catch up a little bit. I just got to get this thing out of the way so we can move on. And then we'll get to our guest. But you're in a fight with Faith right now, one of our Twitter followers. You know, we always have to do cult news on the show because they're all fucking crazy. Are you guys still fighting as we speak?
Well, no, because once she started posting pictures of my children on her whore page using words like kitty porn, I decided, this is a good one to block. So, no, we're not fighting anymore.
So she put your kids up on her quote-unquote whore page? What is a whore page,
her,
first of all?
It's her Twitter. She has, like, 3 Twitter accounts. One of them is for her cam, you know, her webcam. She gets naked for other people's husbands and wives and has sex on cam and with her husband and herself, you know.
That's gonna, fine.
Yeah, it's not as bad, but she, so she just posted pics and said, oh, she's calling me a whore. She puts her kids on Twitter and this is kitty porn or something.
Oh, creepy.
Creepy. So I got rid of the pictures and blocked her and all her accounts. And, yeah, so we don't fight now.
Well, I know that she accused you of giving your baby radiation poisoning on its brain because you tweet while you're breastfeeding in your cell phone, right?
Right. Always. Okay. That's all I do. Actually, he has his own cell phone that he uses and holds while he breastfeeds.
Well, there are radiation dangers I remember hearing. I don't know if they're true. We will have a neuropsychologist and neuroscientist on later, and I will gladly ask her if there's any truth to that. Because if you are indeed endangering your child, that would be awesome. I'd just like to know.
Well, you know, in my life, I did drugs to dumb myself down a bit. I was way too smart, so I think it will help them so that they're not freaky, too smart kind of Asian kids.
That's true. They're half Chinese, so they're already super good at math. They're probably going to be in college when they're 14. So if you are brain damaging them, they'll probably just fit in with the normal American kids.
Right. I don't want them weird.
Yeah, seriously. Brain tumors on Asians look totally cool. You know, with their big round heads with big pokey parts on the top, they'll fit in everywhere.
And
anyway,
I mostly rested on his ass anyway, so I don't think we have any issues. He'll get a tumor to ass.
All right, on that note, I think it's time to bring on our guest. I'm excited to interview this woman. I'll let her explain everything, but this is someone I've been having email correspondence with for some time. And honestly, some of the most fascinating emails I've ever gotten, and I mean that in a good way and also an equally terrifying way. Amy, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you nervous?
Yes, I'm scared to death. I didn't sleep at all last night, so.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this will be great. Well, let me just tell you again, like I tell Jen and everyone else, nobody listens to the show, so there's only like 3 of us talking. It's just a phone call. You and I have had correspondence. There's no reason to be nervous, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And why I said your emails were terrifying is, and we'll get to later, you have quite a history, shall we say, and you're very, very candid about it.
Right.
which people will see shortly why that's shocking, just the truth. So I'm just going to let you sort of explain yourself. I do want to focus specifically from the start on your adult life before you had your epiphany or whatever that changed, when you were doing things that were unethical, I would say.
Right.
I have some questions about that. One of the things you mentioned in your email was that you I don't really know how to segue into this interview.
I know, right? It's a lot.
It is a lot. Well, let me you tell me then. I mean, I'm not concerned with your childhood just yet. We're going to get into that later.
Okay.
So why don't you just fast forward to where you're planning to I think you've one thing that stood out is that you faked having cancer for
right.
for a charity, and then you stole the money. Let's go there.
Oh no, that's yeah.
Or is there something before that?
No, but that's not what happened. No.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's
yeah.
why I'm interviewing you, because I get everything wrong. I didn't pre-interview.
No. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't even know where to begin. I guess like the dishonesty thing, you know, did start when I was a kid. Probably, you know, as a self-protection mechanism, and then when I became an adult, I mean, that was just. I didn't know anything different. So there just was a lot of dishonesty going on.
Meaning you were being dishonest.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, it's
okay.
Like for attention, I think, and also to, like, deflect. And I think looking at it now as a 36-year-old woman, I think, you know, I had, like, zero self-esteem, had no clue who I was. So, you know, it's, like, sort of all wrapped up in that. And, I mean, in terms of, like, the major event.
Well, let me just say, do me a favor. The reasons for it, or the you know, what you're saying, why you did things, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So don't feel like you have to justify. I mean, again, I wouldn't have you on if you were a criminal or a horrible person. I really wouldn't. I'd be terrified. There's a human here for people listening. I want to tell the story this way because I think it's better to go from present to past in this case. Usually I do the opposite. So don't feel that you need to justify anything just yet.
Okay.
Just get right into it.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, I got married to my husband, and there was, you know, the relationship started off pretty good, and then I was disowned at that time, so I didn't have any family. And when I got married, he was, like, the only family that I had. So there were a lot of, in getting to know him, there were a lot of, there's a lot of dishonesty, a lot of lies, not like necessarily huge stuff then. I think the first major thing was probably the cancer thing. You know, I had gone in, I've always had, like, female issues, and so I went in and was diagnosed with some cysts, and they had precancerous cells, and I sort of, like, took that and ran with it, and,
gotcha.
You know, right. So, and that was just, like, in my little circle of people who was basically, like, no one at that time. But that's kind of, like, that was the main event when I was an adult. And then...
So what did you do with that news?
I'm sure
it was terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I told Richie's, my husband, I told Richie and his family, and... like I said, I didn't have, like, many people, and I told people at work, you know, so I was getting ready to leave the job, and so everybody was, you know, very sympathetic at work, and,
right.
Yeah, so.
You told them you actually had cancer, is that what you mean? Like,
yes.
Not just
yes.
pre, okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's so hard because, like Jake just said, like, there's so much detail that goes into this, it's kind of like I even, you know, get lost in it. But so after that had happened, this is where I think you got things mixed up.
Okay.
I contacted a, you know, this is kind of tricky because when this whole thing started, I had to sign a confidentiality agreement with these folks, but people who had a reality television show that was very, very, very popular.
Uh-huh.
And I got in touch with them before the show aired and essentially said, you know, maybe we should work together. I have money that we could potentially donate to the charity of your choice.
Gotcha.
And it ended up morphing into, and this wasn't the intent, so it's just interesting how things happen, where they ended up offering my husband a spot on the TV show for the second season. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and so then I'm in the middle of that, and that completely blew up in my face.
But was the reason he was on because his wife had cancer? Was that part of it?
No.
Okay.
No. No,
well,
just
stick to the... I mean, what? Why am I thinking that you did have a charity or that you raised money for cancer? Where did I get that from?
I think just maybe when you read the initial email, you know, I had told the celebrities that I had money that we could all build a charity together, but we never collected money. And yeah, so
okay.
I mean, I didn't steal anything from a charity. Now you're thinking about the trust. That's a completely
okay. That's
issue.
What. Yeah. What is that? Can you tell me the worst shit you've done? Let's just do that. Let's go right to that.
Okay.
Worst possible shit.
Right. This is probably the worst thing. Although, I mean, you know, the damage that I've caused to my family, meaning my husband, you know, like that's probably worse than the money. It's a money issue, but.
Right.
I essentially got one of my friends to help me doctor some trust documents and an investment company on the East Coast fronted me right around $1 million, maybe a little bit more than that, based
wow.
on, you know, fraudulent trust documents. And
right.
And actually what had happened before that is I had done it with a smaller company for like $100,000 and the note was coming due. So I started panicking, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And so, it's, you know, so then I have to fix this. So then I went to another extreme and got the $1 million. And within, like, 2 or 3 months into that, like, it all blew up and they knew. So they sued me. It was a nightmare. I was clearly that's fraud. So
what you did is you told people as collateral that you had a trust fund coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that you would, when you got the trust fund at a certain age, you would pay them back.
Exactly.
And then there was no trust fund.
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah, my dad did set up a trust fund for all three of us kids, me, my brother, and sister when we were younger, but he ended up, like, tricking me into signing it back to him. So, you know, it's funny because I take, like, all of my stories and all of my lies are sort of based on, you know, like a bit of truth. And then, unfortunately, I would make the decision to just take that and run with it, like to the max, to the extreme.
Right. That's
how. It sounds like kid lies when, you know, you start with one story and, you know, tall tales. You know,
that
you haven't grown out of that maybe, or you had not grown out of that.
Right. Yeah, that's really what it was. And then, obviously, everybody knows this. Then, you know, when you lie, then you have to, like, keep, you know, the lies continue because things just, like, shift. And so you just have to keep it's more and more and more and more. And so, I mean, that's kind of been my whole life, really, particularly my adult life, where things would be fine, then I'd start getting into shit, and then it would get more and more and more. Huge explosion. You know, the ceiling would come tumbling down, and then there'd be a respite, and then I'd start it all over again. So,
what other? Well, give me an example outside of the trust fund.
Well, you know, the biggest thing I would say second to that would probably be the TV show, and there was like a lot of stuff.
Let me ask you about the TV show. What was the fraud there? I mean, they wanted him on a TV show.
Well, I just, like, because when I contacted them, it was, like, completely dishonest. And I also told them that I had cancer, that I had, you know, that I recovered from cancer.
Gotcha.
And so the initial email and trying to get to know them, I lied and said that I had this trust fund and perhaps we could work together. And the thing that's really heartbreaking about that situation for me was that one of the producers of that show I became very, very close to, like, really good friends with. And you know, he was sort of caught in the middle of all of that, and it was, I mean, when I think about it today, it's really difficult to look back on because I really cared about him, and I put him in a position that was so unfair, and that never should have happened, so.
Did your husband know that did you tell your husband you had cancer, too?
When we first met, yes. Yeah.
Oh, so you started dating at that time?
Yes.
Had pre-cancer? Oh.
Right.
Do you think that helped him? Was it part of the reason he married you or anything?
No. No.
Okay.
We
so
were like,
that's
yeah.
A white lie. Well,
yeah,
a little
it
bit.
Was just like, you know, attention. That's, you know what I mean? Like, look at me, pay attention to me. You know, it just was so like, yeah.
Well, I can see why you'd fake cancer for, you know, sympathy and attention, but the fraudulent stuff with the money. I mean, were you looking to just score, you know, just score some money so you didn't have to work, or was it a power play?
No, you know what's funny about this is that so I got the $1 million, and the majority of the money I gave away. My parents are really successful, my dad particularly. So at the time, he was a multimillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure why this happened. But I had moved to Texas, and all of my family lives in Michigan, in the Midwest. And so I sort of wanted my mom to be around because, you know, we had a back-and-forth relationship my whole life. And so I told them, look, if dad retires, I'll build you a house. So I built them a house. Like, I spent over $300,000 on this house for them, and I bought my mom a car, all kinds of stuff. I took care of a bunch of family members on both of my mom and dad's side of the family.
Of that because you felt guilty, or is you're just a nice person?
Well, that's the thing, you know, that's on, like, the crux of all of this stuff is just that, there's, like, how I feel, and, like, I just wanted to help people, you know, they were struggling, and it's this thing with my parents, obviously we're going to get into later, that goes much deeper, but, I grew up with these, my aunts and uncles, and Richie did with, you know, his grandparents, and I just loved them, and they were struggling and hurting and health issues and housing issues, and I just wanted to help, so... Like, I sent my sister, she got married at that time, I sent her on a honeymoon, I paid for her honeymoon. The majority of the money was given away, which isn't to say that, you know, we didn't keep any of it. I was paying my mortgage, bought a house that I couldn't afford, and bought a nice car, I don't want anybody to think that I gave it all away. I certainly did spend some on me, but the majority of it I did, so.
But, I mean, that doesn't assuage you in a guilt if you give it away. I mean, you still,
stole
money.
It sounds more like Robin Hood that way, though.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Robin Hood aspect, but let's be honest. I mean, you know, I don't know you or your psyche very well, but I would say it's good that you did something good with it, but I don't know that was it's hard for me to believe that was your intent from the start, like, oh, I'm going to pull off this big scandal so that I can, and scheme so that I can buy my mom a house.
No, like I said earlier, the motivation was truly because I had, you know, I had done the previous one for $100,000 and the note was coming due and I didn't want to get busted. So that's why I initiated it. It just turned out that once I had all this money, I was like, oh, my God, I can do whatever I want with this now.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because certainly people have gone to jail for doing much less. And I'm shocked to this day that the company that fronted the money did not press charges against me. It's like, I think about that and I don't understand why I didn't do jail time.
You're very lucky.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's,
I'm sorry. I mean, you're lucky. No. What, give me one more example. This show sometimes is a confessional for people. I don't know why. I have something about my sexy voice.
and the fact no one listens. Like,
yeah, and no one listens.
No one
but
listens.
Just imagine, please, like, tell me what else is there. I mean, I have the email. I'm not going to read anything without your permission, of course. But was there anything else?
I'm trying to think. I mean, if there's something in there that you're thinking, feel free to point it out. I just, you know, there's so much. Like, I wouldn't even know. Honestly, it was when I got with my husband, I lied to him and told him that I had, you know, a bunch of money.
Right.
You know, honestly, Jake, everything about my life was deceptive. Like, I couldn't be honest with myself in any way, so I was totally not being honest with everyone around me. I mean,
and you have, the thing I was going to mention was that you had an affair, but I don't know that that's.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, yes.
And that's kind of normal nowadays.
I mean,
that.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, an affair is terrible. I mean, I feel so bad for your husband. Like, he meets you, he's like, oh, I'm falling in love, and all of a sudden you have cancer, and you're going to inherit all this money, and then that blows up in his face, and then you're having an affair. Is he still with you?
Yes. You have no idea. And that's one of the things about this story, I think, that, like, is the most, in my view, from where I sit, the most powerful and sort of telling thing. The fact that he did stick around, and he has loved me unconditionally, which is not to say that there haven't been some issues. And,
right, of course.
You know, that's actually why we're here. This is why I'm talking to you right now, because so I was having an affair a couple of years ago. I worked for a long time in the entertainment industry, and I had a friend from high school. I was really, really good friends with this guy in high school, and he contacted me one day and said he was going to be working a job in San Francisco and asked if I wanted to go see him because we hadn't seen each other in a long time and I could help him work. So I agreed to go, and like the second night that I was there, we started to have an affair, and that went on for a year and a half. And, you know, this, it's not just the issue of, you know, what I was doing to Richie and my children and my marriage. Also, the other guy, he knew when we first got together that I was still married, but I told him, you know, after a certain amount of time, because he was getting impatient, that my husband and I had divorced. And I really just, I mean, yeah, like, really when I think back to how much I, like, deceived him and the level, there's, it's like,
well,
layers
basically
and layers.
At this time, I mean, it would appear you're completely without conscience. Conscience. How do you say it? Conscience. Conscience.
Yeah.
Conscience.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're completely acting for your completely on your own for your own needs, and I mean, it almost sounds, I mean, it's a heavy word, psychotic or sociopathic, but I mean, this is a diagnosis that goes around. It seems like you could argue that you're showing these tendencies at least.
Oh, of course. I mean,
did that ever?
Yeah,
has that ever come up? Has there ever been any kind of diagnosis, or have you?
No, and actually, that's, you know, we can. You want to sort of save that stuff for later? We can get to that. But I'm actually exploring that.
Yeah, no, we're
going
to get to that later.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you've ever been diagnosed with anything, or.
No, you know, I started therapy when I was really young, and there was never. I mean, I've been diagnosed with, you know, depression before, mm-hmm. and. An anxiety disorder after I gave birth to my second kid. I had a little bit of postpartum, but no, nothing major. And I think it's important to point out, I was doing all of those things, but it wasn't that I didn't care. Certainly, obviously, because I lied and deceived so many people, you know, there's that. However, I was like, it got to the point where, in the end, when I finally was like, okay, I'm done. I can't live this way anymore. I would wake up every morning, had to have a drink. I was on a ton of prescription medication. Like, I just couldn't face myself. And I was in this just state of panic continually, like, you know, when is somebody going to find out what's going to happen and just how awful I felt. Like, I remember one day sitting in a bed, like, sort of looking at my kids playing, and I'm thinking, holy shit, like, I could be a Lifetime movie. Like, this is one of the really bad Lifetime movies, you know. It just was, it was an awful, awful, awful feeling.
So lie on top of lie.
On top of lie. On top
questionable
of lie.
Legal fraudulent activity. You're lying to people close to you. I imagine in this time, the overall point, the reason I asked about diagnosis and we'll get to later is just that a lot of people get, I do this show every week, and one of the things I always talk about is how there's an overdiagnosis in this country of a lot of different illnesses, depression, even psychosis. A lot of times I think that these people are, you know, post-traumatic and they've had a rough go at it, and they're displaying these symptoms, which a doctor will come in, a psychiatrist will meet with them for 30 minutes and go, well, you're psychotic or you're a sociopath. And I've always felt like as human beings, we would not have survived and evolved generation after generation if 40 to 50% of us were born with, you know, ridiculous, messed up brains. So I've never really subscribed to that theory. So the reason I'm asking is everything you're telling me about stealing and lying, that's sociopathic behavior. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing. Yep. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if at that time you went and saw a doctor and they had diagnosed you or at least brought it up.
Yeah, no, you know, the therapist that I was, you know, that I started seeing from childhood was able to sort through, he was a really great therapist, and he was able to see straight away like what was really going on there. And as an adult, I, you know, like for example, when I went to see somebody after I had my son, when I was having postpartum depression, I wasn't on it, you know, like I didn't say, there was no doctor that I ever confessed everything to, you know what I mean? Like when I would go in to see somebody, it was all surface stuff. So they never really, I never gave anybody a chance to do that.
Understood. But,
yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty much all the quote-unquote sociopathic behavior as an adult, right? We've cleared all that out?
Yeah, I mean,
you didn't stab any homeless people or No, baby
no, there's never been any violence or, you know, anything like that. The other thing,
okay.
Another big thing would probably be that when the lawsuit happened, when the company, you know, figured out that I did not have a trust and they sued me, my sister fronted me, like, I want to say $80,000 for legal fees and other stuff, and I lied to her about when I would be able to pay it back and, you know, the fact that I had a way to pay her back. I basically, you know, manipulated her into giving me the money. And so that would probably be the
How do you justify it when you're doing that, when you're lying to someone close to you? I mean, what do you tell yourself?
It's like you're numb. There isn't a feeling. The feeling is that when that happened, it was, oh, my God, I could go to jail. What's going to happen to my kids? I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to get in trouble. I have to hire a lawyer. And it's like I need the money. And there just wasn't a lot of thought put into it. I kept thinking, I'll deal with that when it comes up. I'll deal with that when it comes up. And, of course, it's like, you know, delusional behavior. It's
arguably psychopathic. I mean, if if everything motivating you is just self-serving that way. You know, fear
right.
of being caught, but there's no, like, remorse.
Or just immature. I mean, you know, like, I did all those things as a kid, and I grew out of it.
Yeah, Jen, we're going to get... Don't you start arguing you're not fucking out of your mind. No one's buying it. I talk, for those of you who don't know, Jen and I talk through the week, and this girl's a mess. This show's for
That's
you.
That's how I made Amy feel comfortable. I'm like, don't worry, I'm fucking crazy, too.
Yeah, that was really helpful. Seriously, I was like, okay, deep breath. It's going to be
yeah,
better.
Yeah, we all are. That's the cold of Jake. So I want to get into your child. There's so much I got to get in with you, but you mentioned in the email, the real thing I'm getting at is that you were going to have your brain scanned for psychotic
yes.
behavior.
Right.
That's why I'm asking you about your doctor when you were an adult, because you obviously at some point questioned whether or not you're a psychopath. That had to happen if you're getting your brain scanned, right? Or somebody questioned
right.
it. Okay,
right.
That's why
well,
I'm asking.
Yeah, so, I mean, when everything blew up, so I ended the relationship with the person that I was having an affair with, I guess in June, and, you know, there was still, it was such a dysfunctional relationship, so there was still a little bit of back and forth, and then, you know, he was hurt and angry in the quest to sort of find out the truth. He essentially contacted every single person in my life, my family, people I worked with. He took my cell phone bill and pretty much just dialed any number. Who are you? What is your...
Oh, he outed you, basically.
Totally. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yes, completely. So it was a complete breakdown. So that's how it all came crashing to, you know, a stop. And I basically had the choice then, like, okay, I can't... This is enough already. You know what I mean? Like, at the time I was 35 years old, like, it has to stop. And so I just came clean with Richie about everything. And there was this period of, he, at the time, was saying, look, I'm going to divorce you. Like, you know, I can't do this with you anymore, but I love you. I see your heart. I know you're a good person. I want to help you. And that was kind of like the defining moment. I mean, we were out on the back porch, and I'll never forget that moment as long as I live, because he was like, all of this, you know, his entire world was just like decimated, and he's looking at me, telling me how much he loves me and believes in me. And I was like, okay, I cannot do this anymore. So I began the journey for the last, like, 8 or 9 months. I need to get to the bottom of this. I don't feel like I'm a sociopath. I know that I display those behaviors, but I know that I love, and I know that I get sad, and I feel, you know, I cry, and I feel bad, genuinely, genuinely awful and gross for the things that I've done to people, particularly people that I love and care about.
And you actually feel empathy and bad, or I mean,
yes.
You could just be saying that.
I know that you, yes, you know, but I
mean, I say that shit too. I don't really care about myself.
no,
but
I
here's
do.
The thing. Oh, what's that?
No, it's, no, but I do. So yeah, when that happened, I decided I have to find out. So I contacted. Actually, I did some research, and I found a TED talk with this
That's fine. You can just say doctor. We're,
yeah, the doctor.
He's
a neuroscientist. He specializes in diagnosing sociopaths, particularly like the really bad ones, like the murderers, you know, violent criminals, that type of thing.
And you're going to go meet him.
Right. So I contacted him, and like he wrote me back. I told him, you know, kind of like in the same kind of the same email that I sent you, and just said, look, I want help. I need help. I have to know. Like, I just want to know once and for all. And he was so kind. He within, like, 24 hours, he responded and said, yes, let's set up a FaceTime. And he sort of did, you know, he couldn't. It was more just like he said, I can't diagnose you over the phone, obviously.
Right.
So just, you know, we're just setting up a relationship here. Let's talk. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing now. I'm in the process of doing all of that.
Well, would you be open to speaking with a doctor right now?
Sure.
I have a neuropsychologist on the line. Her name is Dr. Katie. She's very, very against this, for the record. She's not going to diagnose you, but I think it'd be good if we did a little bit of a test. Maybe save you the trouble, because those brain scans can be expensive. And not only that, it's really a young science. Any sort of scanning, I'm skipping ahead because we're running out of time, but the doctor that you're meeting with on FaceTime, he's mentioned that he was going to scan your brain and look for things. And that's still really early. The best way is still question and answer form.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Katie, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
I am honored to be on the fastest growing podcast in the universe. And actually relieved that we had enough time to talk given that intro length.
I know. I'm going to shorten it.
And hi, but, Amy. And before we get to Amy, I also have to say that, Jen, I'm really sorry to break it to you, but your little Asian babies are not going to be dumbed down by brain tumors. And thus they will be mocked mercilessly for their genius.
Shit.
Oh, so the sorry, Amy, you weren't here for this part, but tweeting with an iPhone on your boob while you're breastfeeding inches from your baby's soft spot does not cause brain cancer.
Correct.
I don't know if I should believe a neuropsychologist over a cam girl, but I think I'll go with neuropsychologist.
No,
yeah,
and I'm happy to.
I
don't want to take up any more time, but there's two
you.
Types
Thank
of
you.
Radio
All right,
frequency
so you hear that, everyone.
Emissions, and there's just no good evidence yet to suggest that any non-ionizing radiation that you would see in, you know, microwaves and cell phones are causing brain tumors.
Right,
X-rays, radiation
good.
Therapy, yes, those are ionizing, but not the cell phones. So
and real
tweet
quick,
away.
Give
thank
me
you,
your,
thank you.
Your qualifications, Dr. Katie, as much as you're comfortable, just so people know that you're
legit. I'm your follower on Twitter.
Okay, well, that doesn't help you. That doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, that part where like, shh, shh.
No,
poor
give
Amy,
me something that makes you
gonna
look,
leave now.
Something that makes you look smart, not ridiculous.
Exactly, that I do know you is not a strength for my qualifications. I have my PhD in clinical psychology with a specialty in neuropsychology, which is a specialty that looks at the relationship between behavior and the brain. And it sounds like, Amy, can you tell me who the doctor is that you've been talking to?
Jim Fallon, Dr. Jim Fallon.
Okay, yeah, he's a neuroscientist at UCSF or UC Irvine, I think.
UC Irvine, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, just wanted to check.
So,
she's checking the story.
No, not at all.
I'm concerned whenever anybody is, you know, obviously hurting and looking for answers and contacting professionals, and you want to make sure that
you're worried
professionals...
that a doctor is like a sociopath who's lying.
Right, and he's not. Actually, if I'm remembering correctly, and I've done some kind of very indirect work with the group at UC Irvine, I used to be at UCSF, and we did a lot of work in the Alzheimer's disease neuroimaging initiative with Dr. Fallon and others, and he studies not only biomarkers for degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and stuff, but certainly is well-versed in the world of the psychopaths or criminal behavior, and looking to find some biomarkers there. So he's definitely well-researched
sorry to interrupt you, but actually, I just
first sign of sociopathy.
He himself is. He's also a sociopath. So that's.
He's not, I think he did an NPR interview, if I'm remembering this correctly, where he scanned his own brain, looking at some of the there are some neuroanatomical markers that come up quite frequently, both in terms of how your brain activity and even just structurally brain differences and really truly diagnosed psychopaths. And we use these words for, you know, it's tough, and I'm not going to take up too much time because I know we're running late, but psychotic behavior is very different than sociopathy and psychopathy, and both of those really fall under the term that we use, antisocial personality disorder. through, and that's very different. Psychosis is something you see in schizophrenia. There are clusters of symptoms that really have to do with not being based in reality. So perceptual abnormalities, hallucinations, auditory visual hallucinations, seeing things that aren't there, hearing things, disorganized thinking, delusions, you know, fixed beliefs of paranoia.
Who are you calling psycho?
Jake. That's Jake.
Delusional.
Hey, exactly.
Dr. Kay, sorry.
Great, great example, Jim.
We get
so we're
smart.
Talking about sociopath, and sociopath is a
smart.
Really difficult term to use, but I will tell you right now, we don't need to do a questionnaire. Amy does not have ASPD.
Okay, now what, in your professional opinion, is wrong with Amy?
First of all, let's just clear her of this. So the three things I heard over and over in your story, and I was going to mute and get some work done during that time, but I listened in because it was fascinating.
Thank you.
The
well,
three things I heard over and over and over again, remorse. I feel bad. You can argue, Jake, that people say that. Sociopaths don't even usually bother saying that, but she's expressing remorse.
Uh-huh.
Insight into your behavior, that's key. So she's looked at her behavior, she's explored it, she's made connections. I'm guessing, and I'll get ahead of myself a little bit here, that there may be some abuse in your past, and obviously we're on a podcast and nobody's listening, but if you don't feel comfortable talking about that, I respect that. And empathy, again, you can say she's just saying she's empathetic, but she expressed on several occasions really caring and loving about her husband and the treatment she gave him, you know, wanting to help people, remembering relatives who were struggling with housing. I mean, sociopaths just do not do that.
Okay, Amy, do you hear that? You're not a sociopath or a psychopath.
That's
Jake, on the other hand.
I would
wage money if I were a degenerate gambler, and I happen to be. Don't knock that on my credentials as a neuroscientist. But if we were to go through a questionnaire, which I hate doing because these online things are not psychometrically valid often, although I found one that has good empirical validation, but I would guarantee I would wage money that you would hit more on the ASPD, the antisocial personality disorder.
Jake
will win this contest for sure.
Wait a minute.
If he wants to win something,
you...
it'll be the socio contest.
And I don't mean to belittle this, Amy, at
Dr.
all.
K.
Because wait. I know she's hurting and she's struggling, and there's definitely depression and anxiety there. And again, I may be overstepping my boundaries, but I'm guessing some abuse in your past. And I applaud you for looking at this and wanting to work through this. Again, insight and remorse and empathy, all things that sociopaths don't have. I just want to sort of help you maybe get off this path a little bit, because again, if you
understand
your path,
would you be
ahead.
Willing to quiz me and Amy and Jen real quick, just five, and see who actually is the most messed up? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Do you guys have the link I sent you?
No, not in front of me.
All right, because I can only score one person. Like I can only do answers.
Well, just throw them out there. We'll do two questions because I don't want to get into Amy's childhood. That's what this is really about. But I just want to know that I can't be more crazy than Amy. Don't tell me I'm more crazy than Amy.
Jake's probably the craziest of all, I think.
I have narcissistic personality disorder. So you brought this up. I need
that's
to know
a
that.
Given.
That's the other thing, too, Amy. So all personality disorders.
Quit talking about Amy.
You need to find exactly. Here we go. You don't even need a questionnaire for the narcissism diagnosis. Good God, man.
But he doesn't have any remorse. Jake, I mean, tell him your story about masturbating angrily around a synagogue.
I didn't do it around a synagogue, first of all. I did it on the synagogue. And that's not illegal in any state. And I was very upset.
But you could argue that desecration of property, which is another symptom of ASPD.
Okay, Katie, what are the other symptoms? Just
all right, let
real
me find
quick.
Some good ones, because this is a questionnaire that assesses personality disorders across the board. And the other important thing to know about personality disorders, and I know you have your issues with the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistic Manual, Jake. I do, too, any good self-respecting psychologist, psychiatrist to do, but you have to start somewhere at trying to systematically look at human behavior, and it's very flawed. But one thing to know is that personality disorders are very apparent in childhood. And so, for example, to even get a diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder, you have to show conduct disorder as a child. So these things are happening younger than 7. And it's not just lying. I mean, God, my 4-year-old just told me that, you know, she didn't piss in her diaper last night, and I just threw a urine saturated Pampers away. You know, it's not just lying; it's really deviant behavior that starts early on. So, for example, Jake's narcissistic.
Amy, did you do anything as a child that was like that?
No, I mean, no, there was no, I was told that I did that stuff, but no, there was no, like, violence, there was no weird, like, I mean, I lied a lot to try to get my way, but that's, you know, that's kid
that's
stuff.
Just being a woman.
Exactly, and absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, no.
Proof of your emotional and mental health.
What about Jake stalking and killing a Cabbage Patch doll, like spotting it out and killing it?
One time
again, I would
did,
argue that's a sign of psychological health, Jen.
Is it? I did dress up in two different outfits and then set an alarm. And then when the alarm went off, I got up, put my gun together, this little BB gun that broke apart, shot the doll, and then I took off my clothes so that I had changed my outfits, and then walked casually through my house to practice not getting caught. Is that,
so
is that creepy? I'm a social. All right, so we don't need to do the questionnaire then. You already
I don't
know
think we need to do the questionnaire at all. I think we've all been diagnosed.
Okay, and what's your problem, Katie, specifically? What's wrong with you?
I think paramount is my willingness to come on this program this morning.
Oh, well, we
appreciate
it.
This is the one time I've been the most normal in a group. This is awesome.
I know. Well, Jen did,
and that is an example, again, getting back to psychosis, of delusional thinking. Thinking
let me ask
not
you one
grounded
more question,
in reality.
Katie. Hold on a second. That's a good point. You know, Jen was in a mental hospital as a teenager because she's a psychopath.
Who was
it?
Yeah, right? Who
she had it? This. Check this out, and then we'll get to Amy. I feel bad.
85% of adolescents could be admitted to inpatient.
Well,
hospital.
Would 85% of those, if they were roommated with a retarded person, growl
roommated?
At the retarded girl? I don't know the word. Jen would growl at this retarded girl every night, and then when they came in, when
she's
the girl would cry.
She was trying to communicate.
Hold on, no, she would growl. Yeah, they were just trying to speak her language. She would growl at her, right? And then when the counselors came in and said, what's going on, Jen would pretend to be asleep, so they thought the retarded girl was growling to herself, and they would punish her. Is that a personality sort of Jen? And that's true, by the way.
Trying to maintain some semblance of sanity in an insane place.
Oh,
wait a minute. So Jen growling at a retard.
I would argue that's behavior.
I'm muting all of you so I can hear myself. Jen growling at a retarded girl and then convincing the retarded girl, because she also convinced another retarded girl she was adopted through letters, is worse than jerking off on a not worse than jerking off in a synagogue? That's what you're saying? Or shooting a Cabbage Patch doll?
Amy.
Yeah.
Right,
Amy's still with us.
Let's get back to Amy.
I think if anything, Amy can feel so strong and confident about her mental health after this.
Amy is not crazy.
I think this is better than any therapy at all.
I think so, too, and free.
Yeah.
And free, but not without cost. There may be some PTSD involved after this phone conversation.
And Amy, if you do raise money through any fraudulent means, send it to the show, please, in the future.
Oh, okay.
All right,
she
Dr.
Would,
Katie.
That would be a great fundraiser for us.
Yeah, right. All right, I'm going to hang up on you, Dr. Katie. You want to stay on mute or you want to stay on or you got
to
go?
No, I have to go, but thank you all very much. And Amy, again, you're doing the right things and seek help for depression, anxiety, but I think, honestly, I think you can save a lot of time with your sociopath, psychopath worries.
Very good.
Because you're remorseful,
thank
you're
you.
Insightful, you're empathetic, and sociopaths are not.
I appreciate
thank
that.
You,
thank
Dr.
you,
Dr. Katie.
All right,
thank
you,
Dr.
too.
All right,
thank
good
you
Good luck.
Bye. Okay, Amy. Sorry we got – Jen made that all about her. I apologize.
That's
so
okay.
Let's get to the heart of it. We've had fun. We've had laughs. We've talked about serious stuff, but this is the crux of the Jake Pantland cult show. I think it's pretty obvious. Even the doctor picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Take me back to your childhood now.
Oh, gosh, I don't even,
well,
start? I mean,
specifically, the term psychopath, which you bring up and we brought up on the show, is something you bring up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you're not a psychopath now. Dr.
That's
Katie,
so
that's a real doctor, too. That was not a joke, by the way. That's a real, legitimate doctor.
Yeah.
For real. She's a friend of mine. That's why she's funny. but that term, why is that term psychopath so burned on your mind?
Well, because both of my parents, as long as I can remember, have said that to me. The first time that I ever remember that word specifically, I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, and I had gone with my mom shopping. And I wanted to buy, like, a toy or something like that. And so I lied to my mom and told her, you know, that my dad said that it was okay, that, you know, I'd asked him. And, of course, we get home and find out that that's not the case. And there was this big sit-down, which then these sort of things continued until I left the house. But essentially, just that I was a sociopath and that I was the only person that God created without a conscience. And
how old were you?
Four or five. That's the first time I remember.
Your parents are telling you at four that your parents are just your mom or just your father or both of them?
Both of them. My dad was the one who was more vocal about it, but both of them. Certainly my mom always stood by my dad and didn't, you know. And their explanation, this is interesting, their explanation as an adult, and so I don't know, maybe perhaps at that time they were telling, like, school counselors and other, you know, psychiatrists or psychologists I saw. Supposedly when I was, like, 18 months old, I fell and hit my head on a fireplace. And they say that that caused brain damage, and that essentially turned me into a sociopath.
So they're telling you, just focus on this for a second, at 4 years old that you are a psychopath? Your parents are telling you that?
Yeah, a compulsive liar, a sociopath, yeah.
And they told you this one time, or was this repeated?
Oh, my gosh. It was like, you know, all the time. I mean, that's who I was. That's really who I was. That they, I mean, that's who they told me that I was ever since I can remember. And to the point where, you know, I was sort of like the person that all of the family stuff got shoved on. Basically, like, if you weren't here causing us all of these problems, our family would be perfect. And, you know, there were times when they would get so upset with me for lying or, you know, whatever. And I wasn't allowed to call them mom and dad. I had to call them Mr. and Mrs. Geisler. I wasn't allowed to eat meals with the rest of my family because I wasn't a part of the family. They disowning me. I've probably been disowned by my family, like, honestly, at least a couple dozen times. And I'm disowned again now, although my dad is speaking with me a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's,
why,
you know,
go back to them? Like, my dad's a total dick like that, too. And why go back to them? You know, I know they're your parents, but why not just, you know, find people that meet your needs in the ways parents can without being a cam girl?
I think that, you know, I've been, Rich and I've been exploring this issue a lot, you know, over the last 6 months, and I think that, you know, I remember my psychologist telling me when I was in my early teens that the sooner I accepted the fact that I was born to parents who didn't really want to be parents and were, like, incapable of bonding, and I was never, ever, ever going to have that kind of relationship with them, so the sooner I accepted that, the healthier I would be. And I think this whole time, you know, I love them despite everything that's happened because they're my parents. I just don't think that they had those feelings towards me. And it's a really difficult thing to reconcile as a kid. Like, what parents don't love their children? You know what I mean? Like, the people who brought me into this world and are supposed to protect me and nurture me and encourage me, like, they don't even like me. My mom used to say that all the time. She would say, you know, Amy, I love you because I have to, because you're my daughter, but I really don't like you at all. Yeah, like,
may have birthed you, but they don't deserve you. Just be done with them. That's horrible. It sounds like horrible advice, but they're very toxic people in your life. You just need to, you know, I don't know, have them killed or something, but really, just be done with them.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Do you have brothers and sisters, Amy?
Yeah, I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
And how were they treated by your parents?
My sister largely was ignored. She's the youngest, and also she was. My theory with her is that the reason my dad sort of, you know, didn't physically abuse her and didn't emotionally abuse her to the extent that he did us, she was born with like a lazy eye. And my dad is he's 100% German. So, you know, take that and run with it. Like, pretty much as German as a person can be. And he's also, I would say, narcissistic, and he couldn't handle the fact that one of his children, you know, was born with, like, you know, a defect in his mind. So largely she was ignored. Plus she just didn't, I don't know, she just kind of, like, kept to herself. My brother got, in some ways, probably, you know, he, in terms of emotional abuse, probably had it worse than I did, and he's really struggling. He's an alcoholic and a drug addict. And, yeah.
Well, that's understandable. Was your father also physically abusive?
Yes. Yeah.
With you and your brother?
Yeah.
So you're
growing
up in a house where your father's physically abusing you, and then both your parents are telling you that you're a psychopath and a sociopath, and they didn't want you.
Right. I mean, when you and I think, you know, now, sort of going through all this stuff and thinking about it, I always had pictured my mom as sort of like one of us, like a victim of my father, too,
yeah.
because I think, you know, he did. I know that clearly there was abuse going on between them as well,
right.
but he literally would, like, sit, like, when, the, you know, I can't say every night, but more often than not, these, you know, daily sit-down screaming sessions telling you what a piece of shit you are and spitting in your face and, like, all kinds of stuff. And my mom was literally just sitting there in a chair, chain-smoking, like, watching it all happen. The only time, the only time I ever remember my mom stepping in was when my dad burned me with a cigarette. And she sort of, like, jumped up out of the chair and was like, you know, Fred, that's enough. Took me to the bathroom and was like, you know, trying to, you know, whatever, help the burn. And at the time, I was like, oh, you know, she was protecting me. Like, in hindsight, I realize now it's not that. There had been, you know, I've been telling people little bits and pieces of what was going on, and that was to protect them. You know, if I show up with cigarette burns, you know what I mean, that validates me. So that's the only reason she stopped. It wasn't because of her, you know, some jackass is beating the shit out of her kids or, you know, degrading her kids.
Yeah, she's definitely complicit in it. That's a, one of the things, you know, there's that old saying that those who stand by when evil's being done and do nothing are just as evil.
Right,
I
and
think
it's
some
almost worse if it's a mother, in my opinion. There's
right.
no one. My husband grabbed my son's arm just, you know, to drag him out of something when he wasn't listening, and I was ready to put him in the trailer and turn on a gas stove.
I know, exactly. I mean, I cannot imagine, because I have three kids, I cannot imagine at any time letting anybody, I mean, if Richie even, it's the same thing. If Richie, both of us are good that way. If one of us sort of takes it a little too far just in terms of like yelling or whatever, we're like, okay, you need to chill now. I cannot imagine watching somebody beat the shit out of my kids and not, and just, and honestly, the emotional, like, it was, there was a lot of emotional torture going on in that house. And, you know, that's even worse. I just can't imagine ever letting my children go through something like that. And then telling them that they're crazy. And, you know, like, oh, I feel like some big explosion would happen. And then the next day, you know, like I would say something about it or whatever. I feel sorry for you, Amy. What do you, that never happened. That didn't happen. There's something really wrong with you. You need help. Like, it's very difficult to trust, like, to trust your feelings, your instincts. Like, that's why I had no clue who I was, because I was being told who I was, but I didn't feel that way inside. You know, it's just
well, this
not
is
good.
My overall point and why I did want to speak to you, to be honest with you. I never thought you were a psychopath, obviously.
Really?
I wouldn't be talking to you. No, I never did. No. I wouldn't have had a doctor call in and been sort of tongue-in-cheek about it if I thought there was something legit. Every doctor I asked to come on the show, they were terrified. They thought, well, this person could be unstable, and you really don't want to do a radio segment with somebody like that if they're going to go murder their children. And I was like, trust me, it's not that way. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an armchair psychologist. You were told physically, I don't know if you were sexually abused or if that even matters, but you were basically emotionally and physically abused as a child, told repeatedly
mm-hmm.
that you were psychotic. And then you might not even know it, but just on the nature of this phone call, you part of you believes it enough that you would go get your brain scanned by some national doctor.
Exactly.
There's part of you that, why, what part, and I understand, again, if, you know, my parents told me I was awesome, so I started to believe it, even though it's not true. I get it if your parents repeatedly tell you something. But all joking aside, why would you even think that there's some biological or genetic link to psychosis and not – why wouldn't it just click so simple in your head that you were abused and you're post-traumatic?
I think because, like, I continued to make – I mean, for real, it's no bullshit that I was – you know, a compulsive liar, and I did really, really, like, shady, hurtful things to people that I love, and it's not like it just happened once. This is like, you know, this has been really all 35 years of my life, and so it got to the point after the blow-up happened last summer that I said to Richie, look, I don't think I'm a sociopath because I know that I have feelings and emotions, but maybe I don't know. Maybe do sociopaths know they're sociopaths? Like, you know what I mean?
Question.
Like, am I just in denial and just so desperate to I don't think that I am, but I, yeah, you're right. I mean,
you could ask yourself one question. I mean, do you deeply love your children, like you said?
Oh,
like,
my God,
Yeah, socios don't deeply love anything. So.
Right. And they, you know, it's funny because they will all say that I'm a good mother and, you know, how much I love my kids, yet, you know, I'm a sociopath. So, you know, I don't know. It's just...
But so overall picture here, you know, this... What do people think of your parents when you grew up? Like, did everyone go, those crazy fucks down the street beat their kid, or were they normal on the
surface? Well, I grew up in a really, really small town, and my dad is like, I would say brilliant. He's very, very intelligent. He went to school to be an electrical engineer. Yeah, he went to school to be an electrical engineer, and then he became an attorney, and then he became the CEO of a health system and opened a bunch of businesses. So we lived in a tiny town, very in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you know, where it's like very poor. So my father was hated, I think, for the fact that he was successful, but more so because he was just an asshole. You know, like people did not enjoy my father, and I don't think then that anybody really knew, you know, the extent of how bad things were behind closed doors, because certainly in front of other people, you know, that kind of stuff rarely
happened. Let's say this, if you were, you know, at 6 or 7 or even 10, if you went down the street to your neighbor and said, my father's putting cigarettes out on me and hitting me, would they have believed you, or would they have thought, oh, there's that crazy little kid?
I think that he had convinced them that I was crazy, because, for example, when I was 14 or 15, you know, there's a lot of push and pull. Just maybe, you know, growing up, and there were still, you know, lies, like, from me, stuff that was happening. And I, at one point, like, it was just, I could not deal anymore. I went to the sheriff's department with somebody. I had a job at the time. My boss went with me, and I begged them to put me in foster care to take me out. And when I was speaking with the officer, he was like, don't worry, you're safe. We're going to protect you. You're not going to have to go back there. And my parents showed up to the police station. My dad went in a room with the policeman. My parents did for about 10 minutes, came back out, and the policeman said, you are going home with your parents. You need to listen to them. Like, basically,
they told them you were psychotic, basically.
Right, right, yeah.
What a brilliant cover for your father, the abusive prick, to make you always seem crazy, no matter what you said. People
yeah,
just
and
assume.
Right.
I mean, that was by design, I imagine.
You know, yes, and now I think so. And it's funny because, you know, I'm 36 years old, and I'm a wife and mother, and I would like to think that I'm fairly intelligent. But
right.
It's just occurring to me now, like, I'm still just, it's very easy for you, right? Like, clearly, okay, yeah, he's nuts, and he's doing, but yes, I think I'm finally starting to realize and understand and connect the dots that it was thought out. It was, you know, he didn't want to get in trouble. I mean,
right.
CPS came and investigated him twice, and he kept them at bay.
It's not easy. I don't think, not to sound arrogant, but this is something that I'm very passionate about. This story I hear 1,000 times, and you know, in different variations. And
right.
I'm starting to profile abusive people. I mean, I would go so far as to say it's quite obvious your father and your mother had similar childhoods to what you had. I mean, I don't think people are born bad. I don't believe in genetic depression and
mm-hmm.
psychosis. I believe there's a very small percentage of people that are born crazy, you know, psychopaths, hear voices, they're fucking nuts, you know.
Right.
They're a natural mutation, you know, put them out
right.
in a rock and shoot them. But 98% of humanity is, I think we're all born pure and innocent and the same, and we learn from our experiences. I'm a huge nurture over nature guy. For those of you who don't know what that means, I put more stock in how somebody's raised and their experiences determining what they are as a person than any medical or brain science. It does not surprise me at all that you would display these characteristics considering the childhood that you had, and
mm-hmm.
It absolutely makes sense. And if you're objective at all, it's crystal clear. In fact, I would go so far as to say that, you know, in the high 90 percentile, that a lot of people that are displaying psychosis, sociopathic behavior, depression, anxiety, ADD, name the list of this billion-dollar medical corporation, whatever, I'm losing my words. You can name a long list of diagnoses. I would say in the high 90% that these people were traumatized and abused as children.
Yeah.
And that's my belief. When you first sent me your emails before you mentioned your abuse, you were talking about cheating on your husband and stealing money, my first thought was, okay, she was obviously traumatized as a child. Even Dr. Katie, who's never spoke to you or even read your emails, picked up on it in about 45
right.
seconds.
Right.
And the most important thing here is not that I'm not giving you an excuse. It doesn't mean that you don't take responsibility for your behaviors. It's just
right.
there's a difference between a reason and an excuse. And it's very – the best part of this whole story – sorry, I'm rambling, but there's a lot going on in my head. Your husband in that moment loved you so much. He had so much unconditional love that it – I believe that's what cracked you. I believe that's what pulled you out of this. And it's my – I mean, is that true, first of all? Let me start there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I was never loved, right? And I was never
right.
taught how to love. And so, and everybody who was supposed to love me always left. And so I think part of this with my husband was, you know, I just was waiting for him to leave, you know, and it's like, you know, it's 5 years, and it's 8 years, and it's 11 years, and now we're at 13 years. And when he, I mean, like, shit had really just blown up, you know, and he just sat there and looked at me and was like, I'm not going to allow you to hurt me anymore, but I love you, and I know you can be better, and I will help you. And
wow.
I just, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the story for me, is what a difference love can make. Like, if you choose love instead of anger, and, you know, and he had moments of anger, you know, several moments of anger in the last few months.
And he
yeah,
will again.
Yeah, of course. But he just loves me. He's, you know, when he said to during that conversation, I know what your heart is. I've seen your heart. I know how you, because my parents and the guy that I was having the affair with tried to convince Richie to take the kids away from me and, like, get away. Everybody was pressuring him to do that. And when he stood up to them and said, you know, those are two separate issues. I'm not going to do anything to hurt my kids, and Amy's an excellent mother. So that's not going to happen. And as soon as he didn't go along with them, he was disowned. And, you know, they
said,
see you later.
How does that feel to have him in your life?
It's like, you know, I'm finally starting to understand how much he loves me and our family.
But what's
like,
that do? I mean, to be unconditionally loved.
You know, I can't even, it's really difficult to put into words. Basically, that moment and his love is giving me the strength to, like, have this conversation with you and to try to figure out what's going on so I don't hurt him again, so I don't hurt anybody again. It's like,
but
you
I
know,
mean, specifically, you've never been loved. You've never been unconditionally loved
never.
Ever. And now
never.
You are.
And now I am.
And
so, you know,
well, hold
it took 13 years for it to sink in.
but think about it. Really think about it with me. I mean, just, you know, tune everything else out. That being unconditionally loved, is it's beyond just feeling safe. I mean, it can sort of add depth to you. It can make you see the world differently. It can make you feel love. I mean, it's in a powerful, powerful thing. And
it
it's something you never
has.
Had.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's like...
There's a point here. Just go with it, goddammit. I'm trying to say, you know, I do this show all the time, and this is the thing I care about. Is that you know, I hate the way hippies sound when they talk about all you need is love and
right.
those libtards. Like, I get really violent with those people. But the core of it is true, which is if you give somebody love, if you unconditionally love somebody, that's what we need. That's what we all crave. That's what we need from our parents from the time we're born. And those of us that don't get it, we're always looking for it. And we look
right.
for it through money. We look through it for it through sex or power or
yep.
fame. And it's even though your childhood is a million times worse than others, the thing is, this is a common problem in our country. There's a problem and around the world. And it just
mm-hmm.
goes to show the power of, without sounding like a fucking hippie, which I hate, the power of love, that it can change you.
It can absolutely alter even the most, you know, I mean, yes, it's difficult to put into words because it is that powerful. It's like
yeah.
if people could choose that, you know what I mean? And it's okay to be like hurt or angry. He still has, you know, and for a long time he'll have, probably forever, like residual feelings about all the stuff that I did. But
right.
because he chose love, my kids will grow up with both of their parents in the same house. And I'll tell you what, now that I know like now that he made me realize that, that he's shown me unconditional love for all these years, there's not a chance, like I will never let go of him ever. And it makes me want, his love for me makes me want to be a better person. I want to be the person that deserves to be loved by that, like that. And that's why I want to change, or that I am changing.
It has changed.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it can, you know, I think, I'm hopeful people are going along with me here, because the reason I get so mad about medication or even prison or any of those things is that I really do believe at its core this is the problem. People don't feel love, or they're post-traumatized, or they're abused. And all we do as a society is sweep those people under the rug and give them a happy pill. And
exactly.
Think about what there is a happy pill. I mean, there is. It's being loved. It really is. And, you know, but that doesn't pay the bills. That doesn't make billions of dollars. That doesn't push
exactly.
the economic system. But, you know, that's I'm thank you for calling in, by the way. And you're not crazy. Congratulations.
Yay.
And do me a favor right now. Is your husband around you?
No, he's not.
Is he going to be home soon?
Well, he went to the library with the kids, so I don't know. Perhaps in a little bit.
Well, next time you see him, I would tell him what you just told me about what it means. I'm sure you do, but tell him again.
I will.
All
I
right.
will do that.
Well, I'm going to hang up on you now before I get all choked up.
He's going to cry.
I am.
I mean...
I'm sorry. It's a beautiful story. You know, Adam Lanza walks into a fucking school and shoots 27-year-old kids, and my first thought is, obviously, his mother's, you know, diddling his balls when he's a kid. That's what I think, and I know I'm right. And the reason I asked you about your childhood and how people viewed your parents is because whenever I bring this up, everybody gets mad at me, and they say, you don't know what it's like. His parents seem normal. Well, your parents
right.
seem normal, didn't they, Amy? I mean, fucking cops
yes.
put you back in their house,
yep.
and they were putting lit cigarettes out on you. So
yep.
don't fucking sit here and talk about how there isn't a link between trauma and abuse and fucking mental health.
No.
It's the only thing linked.
Right. That's really, really true. And I just, before you go, I just wanted
I'm always
to...
right.
well, me too. so I just wanted to say thank you, like really thank you. This is
no,
the first
you.
Time that I've ever discussed this. Like, it is a big deal, and I really appreciate you giving me the time and being kind to me and allowing me, like, this phone call was, I will remember this forever. This is, like, the first time that I'm owning all of this stuff in a public way, and I really appreciate the fact that you gave me your time.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you for being honest, and hopefully some people out there, it helps them. That's what this is all about, right? And that's what you're
yes.
doing. You have a tell me about Project Just Me and what you're doing now.
I started a business a few months ago called Project Adjustment, and basically I'm sort of like an independent fit consultant, and I work with people to, you know, that because everybody's traumatized in some way, and that always,
right.
you know, blocks our mental and physical health. So I try to help people get fit, help their minds work better, their bodies work better, you know, get them in the best positions they can be in. And just support them, be like a mentor and support system, motivation, all of that kind of stuff. So
very cool. And this is a legit business. You're not doing anything fraudulent, right?
Nothing fraudulent.
No, that's
nothing
cool.
Fraudulent.
Tell people the website, projectadjustme.com, right?
It's projectadjustment.com. The website is still being put together, but if anybody
okay.
wants to contact me for any reason, you can reach me at projectadjustment. It's a Gmail address, so...
Yeah, I think you would be a fascinating mentor. I mean, I think a mentor's first, you know, thing they must have is overcoming something terrible. Otherwise,
right,
they
understanding.
Don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, keep it up. I mean, you're not crazy. Congrats. And thank you for what you said, by the way. That does mean a lot to me. I know I didn't respond right away because I was getting choked up, but thank you. It's nice to hear that, honestly. I'm glad.
No,
that,
yes, I really appreciate it. After all my weird email pounding you.
I knew you weren't crazy. Once again, I'm always right.
Thank you.
All right, Amy.
Thanks,
you.
Amy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Well, that was fascinating, Jen. It's really early here in Hawaii, and you woke me up because you're fucking fighting with the faith. But so I did ramble a bit. I went back.
Well,
I
you got
rambling.
Some love out of it. It was
I did. And you know what?
Right?
I wish I could edit this fucking show down so it wouldn't be so rambling of me, but... the message is there, right? Did it come across?
It's
tell me
there.
If it came across. Yeah.
It's
what
definitely
am I saying?
There.
What am I trying to say to
the
world?
I have no idea what you're ever saying. So that everyone with a mental illness, it's not necessarily an illness, it's the result of trauma.
Thank
not
you.
Everyone. We know, you know, everyone gets so touchy with our exclusive words. We mean almost everyone.
I said high 90 percentile. I mean, there's going to be Asian babies with brain tumors.
You put a cigarette out on, you put a cigarette out on kids enough, they're going to react.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, and I know a lot of people, the other backlash of this interview will be that she was, you know, saying, oh, my daddy beat me, so now I'm going to be a cunt and ruin your life. She had absolute remorse about it. She doesn't blame it, so I want to clear that up, too. Are we done? You want to keep talking?
Well, you and I aren't socios, right? Had that clear.
Well, I don't know. She Dr. Katie seemed to be bothered by the fact that you would growl at a retard to convince her that she was hallucinating.
I think she was more upset about you jerking off all over a synagogue.
But I have a good reason for that before I sound like a perv. First of all, I was 13. So, I mean, when you're 13, you jerk off even without trying. It just blows up in your pants. Actually, even at 34, that still happens. But I was forced to go to this fucking synagogue for a fucking year to have a bar mitzvah I didn't want. And there was bar mitzvah training. And then there was, check this out, I had to go 2 hours a week to sit with a bunch of Jew teenagers talking about fucking current events. Now, those of you who aren't Jewish or don't know Jewish people, you don't know the torture that is to be in a room with 25 14-year-old Jewish kids talking, you know, rich Jewish kids. This was in Brentwood, by the way. So these are rich Jewish kids talking about hunger around the world. And I wanted to blow my fucking brains out, and I hated it. And Tom Arnold made me go, so I was very angry. I'm still angry about it. And what happened was I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and the teacher and instructor didn't know that I was in that class because I was such a wallflower that I found I would have 2 hours a week. I would lie to my mom and Tom saying I'm going to this Jewish fucking circle, and I just would – they'd drop me off, and then I would just walk around the neighborhood for 2 hours. And one of my go-tos whenever I'm bored is to beat off. That's just, I mean, I do it when I'm descending on an airplane or during a church sermon when I'm bored, you know, that's my go-to. So I was outside the synagogue, and I was beaten off in the middle of the day, and I happened to finish on the wall of the synagogue.
Oh,
this is
going to
be
edited
out. This does sound creepy now.
Yeah, it does.
What the fuck was that?
Come on, buddy, baby.
Oh, look at you rocking the sound effects. I'm cutting this out, by the way. No one's ever going to hear this. There's no way. I know you and I talked like, we got to be honest. I can't do it. I can't talk about jerking off on a synagogue. Are you kidding me?
You'll never go anywhere then, Jake.
All right.
You'll
well,
never
then
be
I did.
Anything.
I jerked off angrily on a synagogue. That is true. Okay, fine. You know what? This girl talked about her father putting lit cigarettes out on her. I surely can admit that I angrily masturbated on a synagogue. And I'll tell you why.
Just blame it on Tom Arnold. Everyone will understand.
I was defacing, you know, it wasn't against Jews or anything. I hated that I had to go to this thing. So it was a little rebellious. And I wasn't a sociopath where I, like, hurt animals or other people. So I guess, you know, I equate my ejaculate with some form of punishment for people.
Yeah, trust me, it is punishment.
My wife says it tastes like lard.
Ew.
And
what
coffee.
Do you eat? Yeah, exactly.
I pretty much eat lard and coffee.
Eat some pineapple.
Yeah, no, my wife, that's not going to happen. Those days are over. That was just to trap me. Now it's,
yeah,
you know,
those are dating days.
Yeah, that's what the swallowing is about. It's just like, you know, women are like a Venus flytrap. You know, they sort of swallow you in, and then when
Ew.
You're stuck, then they slowly fucking acidically drain you of your life force.
Well, hopefully she finishes that soon.
Yeah, seriously. This is not, no one's going
to
hear this. I'm telling
you. Okay.
So if you
want to
say nigger again, it's totally true.
No, I had that come back to me, didn't I?
All right, well, very good.
Thanks, Rob, for that, by the way.
Yeah, and you can go back now armed with your argument with Faith that your kid does not have brain tumors.
I know. I'm not talking to that crazy woman. Wow.
Right, I'm going
to
go tell her now. I'm going to go tweet now. All right.
You don't want any pussies in the news?
Oh, fuck
that.
Yeah. Let's do it. No one's going to listen to this anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have stuff to go?
Well, yeah, I have a couple.
So
I think
good,
you'd like
man.
This one the best.
All right, hold on. Let me get the pussies in the news theme. Hold
all
on
right.
a second. Slow
do
it
this.
Down, woman. Oh, I also want to point out, I know what I wanted to tell you. In that story, You know, the woman's like this horrible, fucking conniving woman who's like faking cancer for money, right? Typical
right.
woman. And guess who saves the day? Guess who fucking puts it all on the line and sacrifices everything and puts all his emotions aside and just gives love? It's a man. Thank you.
Thank you. A man named Richie.
Yeah. But that's proof that men are emotionally more evolved than women as well. All right, where's my pussies in the news segment?
I have no idea. I just looked. Wow, you do have some editing to do.
Oh, here it is. Nah, fuck it. No one's going to listen to the show. Here we go.
Pussy in the news.
Get up, get mucking down with the sickness. Get up, get mucking down with the sickness.
Disclaimer. The host's use of the word pussy is in reference to members of the community that are weak and characterless. List includes, but is not limited to, Jewish mothers, homosexuals, the left wing, women, sensitive men, actors, losers, poets, musicians, artists, feminazis, fat chicks, and ugly chicks. It is not a reference to the female genitals or meant to disparage the female gender in any way. Anyone who is offended by this term is, in fact, a giant pussy.
All right.
Wow.
Right.
I love that intro, by the way.
Thank you. The intro or the pussies in the news?
Well, the pussies in the news. The intro to the pussies in the news. Wouldn't that still
Thank
be an
you.
Intro? Okay.
I don't know.
Don't argue with me. A graduate student from Pennsylvania is suing her school for earning a C+. This is a high school.
She's suing her school for a C+. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yes, for a C+. Megan Thode said the C+ earned... that she earned has kept her from the desired degree, and now she can't become a therapist. She needed a B. So Megan is demanding that her grade be changed and wants $1.3 million in damages. Her professor stands by his grading system, and the grade she received, it was largely in part to her 0 out of 25 participation points.
So what, she never went to class?
Yeah, or she just didn't talk, or I have no idea, just that in her participation, that's what killed it. So she's suing for a C+.
Well, I want to go off on her, but now I'm just curious. I wish, I mean, what
That's
if
all
he didn't?
That's all it had, I know.
Yeah, what if he didn't, you know, if the professor's like, didn't mention that you have to talk?
Or
but
what
even
if
then,
it was
fuck
first
it, it doesn't
set.
Matter. I mean, clearly she can't, we know this, she's not qualified to be a therapist, and she is indeed a giant pussy. Because to sue, I could see her going to the headmaster of the college and saying, look, this grade's really important. Can I do makeup? I mean, there's a million different ways to handle this. Extra credit. You know, I've worked my whole life for this. It's 0.02. Is there anything I can do? But then that's what a reasonable, rational person would do. But what a pussy does is they go fucking litigious. They assign a fucking dollar amount on their pain, which is so gay. I mean, that's about as pussy as it gets. I mean, here we have a girl getting...
$1.3 million for a C+. I mean, I need some money.
Seriously, but even if you say $10,000, it's like once you assign money to how you feel, like that a certain amount of money is going to better how you feel, you're a pussy. I mean, really. Seriously. Preach on,
and
Jake.
That's how I find my stories, honestly, is by searching for lawsuits.
Because it is really – I mean, it's one thing to sue. Like if a doctor, you know, leaves his Rolex in your stomach and you get sepsis, that's understandable. But because you don't like your grade – and you get your feelings hurt and you're a pussy, then you go and sue. So I know she's a pussy. And I just want to say, this is very similar to what you and Stuart Shavitt said on that phone call, the autistic boy's dad, when we were talking about bullying. And he said that, I said, well, how do you define bullying, you fucking idiot? And he said, I didn't say fucking idiot, but he said,
no.
That anything that makes my kid feel bad. And I said, well, what if the teacher, you know, tells him his question, his answer's wrong and puts red ink on the test and that makes him feel bad. Is that bullying? And he said, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
So he's a pussy, too. That's why he's a fucking little
autistic
pussy.
I love going back to
pussy.
That episode.
Because the whole Jake Colt, my whole life philosophy was in that. Here's got this little tard kid who's, like, biting people, and I know he's retarded, but still, you don't bite people. Even retards aren't allowed to bite people. You bite them back or you put a fucking muzzle on their tard mouth. But he was sitting here saying that the teachers were wrong and you were agreeing with him, and then he was going to sue, and he said that they were bullying his kid because they told him that not they'd bite him. Thank you.
Teachers shouldn't pick on retards, which is why I never got my special ed credential.
Well, sometimes
I just teach mainstream kids.
Sometimes retards, you know, they get retardy, and they want to bite and, punch things because they're retarded. They don't know better. And, you know, I don't get mad at the retard for biting or throwing chairs. I never was mad at the boy for doing that. I'm just saying that's behavior that you should try and work out of him. And it's not bullying to say, hey, little tardy, can you please stop throwing chairs at my head and biting my fingers?
It was bullying that she told him his dad wasn't going to pick him up. That's what made him start freaking out.
Let's not go back. You're wrong. Just a minute. Here's the deal. This woman's a pussy. Go on, next.
Okay, next one. This is a current one that's just in the news. Is sadly, Mindy McCready has taken her life. She struggled with alcohol abuse and depression for years and gave up on life and being a mother on February 18th, I think it was. Her body was found on the same Arkansas porch that her boyfriend committed suicide on last month. While I think suicide is sad, I also feel it's a pussy move. But for some reason, what disturbs me most is that she shot and killed her dog, too.
What about her kids?
Her kids are, I don't know, they've been taken away from her already, so now they're orphans or something. I don't even think they're with their dad. I have no idea.
Yeah, suicide's sad, but I already know the story being reported. I haven't even read this, but I can guarantee you they're talking about, she had clinical depression or some shit.
And they don't, no one takes into account all the alcohol abuse that probably just damaged her brain.
Yeah,
literally
exactly.
Depressed it.
And why she's depressed. And there's like, is it odd that she fucking blew her fucking brains out the same spot her boyfriend did? Like maybe she was upset and depressed because her boyfriend fucking blew his brains out?
Yeah, that's weird. And I'm super sensitive to people that just give up on life like that. You know, my mom did the same type of shit. Not, didn't kill herself. I don't think she could figure out how. But I'm like, you know what? You do have to dig deep sometimes. And
well,
your kids do have to be enough sometimes.
Absolutely. And your mom's blind, so if she wanted to kill herself, it wouldn't be that hard, right?
Well, she might miss. What is she like? She loved her cats, though. She would have never killed her cats.
But couldn't your mom just, like, go out in traffic?
That's true. She wasn't blind then. But, now I encourage her to.
Here, Mom, let's go get some ice cream together. Why are the horns, dear? Just keep going. The ice cream stand's right over here.
My poor mom. She's sweet.
But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, yeah, it's sad that this chick killed herself and whatever. But, you know, why kill a dog? That's just tragic.
And the
it's really
kids.
Sad. I remember that guy on the L.A. freeway that blew his brains out on the news back in the days when they'd have car chases and just play them all the way through. He put something down. I don't know if you remember in L.A. He wrote something about his HMO and had AIDS and he shot himself. But he first lit himself on fire in his truck with his dog. And then I remember the newscaster over. And it shows this guy, and he's got his dog in his truck, and he's sitting there, and they're having to send off the police. And he throws a match down, and the fucking dog burns alive, and they're filming it. And the whole time, I'm thinking, that poor, poor dog. And then when he shot himself, I was like, I guess I can go back to watching the game. That's really horrible of you and I think, that we care more about the dog than the person.
I think because they're innocent, like a little kid.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, they didn't.
No, it makes us more humane, actually, that we care more about defenseless animals and children than we do an adult that knows better.
That's true. Okay, good. So we're like super empathic.
Totally empathic.
Okay, I knew we were fine. Even though you fucking convinced retards that they're adopted and crazy, you're totally fine because you care about dogs.
And I
care about dogs. And that you're trying to kill your blind mother. All right, any more?
The other one is that main story about the University of Colorado that they recommend women accept being raped rather than use a gun to stop it. That's just the biggest pussy move ever. And it's reversed. Like, usually, you know, it's men being a pussy. But this one, it's like they want us to pee our pants, I think it was. And
had a list of rape prevention for women. And it was like, tell them you have STD, piss and shit yourself.
Well, be realistic about your ability to protect yourself. So basically take it if you're not strong enough. No, to me that sounds like you can't fight them. Just take it. Be realistic
You can fight them, but it's like don't think you're going to go Jackie Chan on them because then you're going to get raped and killed. I think
well, my advice to all women is just gouge those eyeballs out, even if you just think they want to rape you.
Yeah, no, too. Poke the eye and twist and crush the nutsack.
Yes, but I've heard that can anger people sometimes.
Well, yeah, I think they might get upset with their nutsack twisted and crushed, but, you know, so will getting your eyeballs poked out. That might anger them.
Your instinct may be to scream. Go ahead. It may startle your attacker and give you an opportunity to run away.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. The best rape advice I ever got was, and it's not mine, but I remember hearing, is that don't scream rape, scream fire. Right. And that's absolutely true, because people will come to help you. If they think you're being raped, no one will. I mean, if I see someone getting raped, I would like to think I'm going to go in and go Jackie Chan and rescue, but I might just become so shocked and terrified and freaked out that I don't know, man. So fire.
I don't think people come to help at all anymore. You almost have to yell, I have money for you. I have money for you.
reality show camera, be on TV. That's probably what you have to do nowadays. You know, come get 20,000 new Twitter followers.
Yeah.
You know, I have a story real quick. I hate to laugh, but it's so fucking funny. My friend, my college roommate, Mike Rivers, wanted to be in the FBI, and he was on this program in college where they would, it was a group of students that would go undercover, and they would set up these scenarios on campus and then see how the students would perform, and then they would give instructions after. So they set up a fake rape, okay? So they had a woman and a guy, and they were both a part of the undercover thing, and he jumped on her and raped, and she was screaming rape, and then they were all around in case anyone came and attacked the rapist because he was in on it. And what they saw was, Mike told me, is this woman's getting raped, and this guy turns the corner and sees it, and he goes, oh, sorry to laugh, this is horrible. He goes, yeah, rape that bitch. She fucking deserves it. So he's just like cheering the guy on. Anyway, he got busted, and he got put in community service for like 10,000 hours.
Wow.
But, so, yeah, don't, you know, here's the thing. This is a perfect example. Everyone, not only should there be no gun control, but everybody should have concealed carry permits or open carry. Like, we should all have guns on our hips. I'm serious.
Just women. I think just women should.
Well, Jody Arias, I don't think I want having a fucking gun. That chick fucking is a nut job. So I don't know that it's just chick. No, I think everybody, because here's the thing. Let me ask you this. If everybody's carrying a gun, right, in my perfect utopia, everyone's armed. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, are you going to flip them off and chase them? If somebody holds the door open for you, are you going to say thank you?
No, you'll think, I mean, yes, you will.
You will, because you don't want to get shot. You don't know. People are crazy. So, like, instantly, everyone's nicer. Like, feudal Japan, they used to walk around with samurai swords all the time. And people were so much nicer then. Okay, I lost myself on that one. Anyway.
Well, basically, they want you to vomit and urinate on yourself and not use any guns. Or to have passive resistance, which I think
means
bullshit. Take it and say no. I don't know.
Yeah, it basically means, you know, just let them rape you. That's what they're saying. And if that's not pussy, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm really proud of my mom, who's, you know, ran on the peace and freedom ticket for president, and she's ultra libby sometimes. She was all tweeting 2 days ago that you got to make a clean headshot and that women should carry guns. So,
I retweeted that for sure.
And it's true. I mean, seriously, if someone's going to rape you, you should be able to shoot them. I really think that.
Yeah, and the key is, so you don't get in any trouble, is just say you thought your life was in danger, because it was. You don't know if they have an STD. You don't know what's going on, if they're going to kill you during, after. So you just,
and that's just,
you know,
that. That's proof that the pussy movement's destroying everything, because I think shooting someone is legitimate consequence of rape. Like, they don't have to, life doesn't have to be threatened to kill somebody,
I mean, just to get out of it legally, yeah.
But that's the thing, it shouldn't be legal. You should say, look, dude, the guy tried to rape me, and then everyone should go, oh, well, I'm glad you shot him. That's where it should end. That's the end of conversation. He physically tried to rape me. Well, blow his fucking brain out. But now it's like, well, did he rape you? Like, was he nice about it? Or, you know, did he try and kill you? And it's like, it doesn't matter. He fucking raped you. Kill him. What's he going to do if you don't kill him? You can go cure cancer? Is he going to fucking start a wing in a hospital for sick children? He's a fucking rapist.
Well, fact is, law sucks, so I'm just giving the legal weapon.
I wasn't upset.
Your life was in danger. I know
I'm
you're not.
Yeah. All right. I think this was another brilliant, brilliant episode of the Jake Pentland Show. Of course, I think that about all of them. But, wow, what a show. Thank you. Very nice on the sound effect.
I know. I'm trying. Poor Eli. I miss him.
You're already better than Eli. Eli sucks.
Shut up.
I love that guy. All right. Well, on that note, we ran, an hour and a half?
Yeah. That's a long one.
We've been doing that more lately. Maybe we should just talk about extending the show.
Yeah, your followers definitely like an hour and a half. They're not ready for it to end after an hour.
Yeah.
So.
That's like my lovers feel the same way, but it's a minute and a half. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jake. Have fun in Hawaii. Bye.
You too. Bye.
I wish. Bye.
Blog Talk Radio.
Allison, Frodo, Shirley, Jennifer, Lashana, Heather, AMC. They're never afraid to speak their mind. AMC Press is one of a kind. AMC Press, news infused. AMC Press, news infused.
Oh, well, we're AMC Press. You know who we are. Toku's here. Chris is here. Lala's here. And Allison's here. And we got Miss Shirley creeping in. And we probably will have Miss Heather being bashfully late as always.
Howdy!
But we can't forget all those new listeners, too, and those on demand.
Mm-hmm. They're true. So everyone is back on demand. We're going to break a record tonight, I think. I'm pretty certain. We're going to break an AMC Press record. We're going directly into X-rated.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord.
We're bypassing mature. We're going X. So, remember a few weeks ago I mentioned, and anyone that's listening that just say, I'm sorry. So, apologize ahead of time. But, remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that lady who decided that eating her own tampon was a good idea?
Yes, unfortunately,
well,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got one worse for you, I think. A dude decided to eat his own used condom.
Okay. Wow.
And there had been a YouTube video, but it was pulled due to the policy of disgusting content.
And yet they kept the one with the tampon. What the fuck is up with that?
Well,
I'm not going to be eating no pepperoni pizza tonight.
I'm sorry you're gagging, Jen. And I'm sorry if anyone else is upset by that. Trust me, when I read it, my bathroom got used.
Thank goodness I'm going to bed in an hour, but I don't know if I'll be able to sleep after that.
Like I said, I just ate pepperoni pizza, okay? And my stomach is already turning, and I don't want to be vomiting on the radio.
Oh, boy.
Well, needless to say, I'm just getting that out of the way. I'm not going to mention too much more about it, just to say, ew.
That scores it.
January 4th, 2013. Guys wore their own shit and condos with snacks.
Yeah, Johnny, things you can't unhear by me. And the worst part being, we've broke an AMC Press record. I'm sorry, but we had to do it. So let's get into better subjects. And before we get into these subjects, I might as well start off with doing this.
Uh-oh.
Hi. We're doing a first. We are doing a tag team rant. It's not just me today.
Ooh.
It is not just me. We have two people going to go off the deep end today. So, most people know about how Sony decided to release information about the PS4. Specifically, the controller. Chris, go ahead.
All right. Well, many of you know, especially all the hosts here know, I am a big Nintendo fanboy. I have always been one. I will always be one. Okay, I have played Sony before. I admit I have a PS2, and I love it because it's got some great games. I made the mistake of buying a PS Vita. Well, it goes one worse here, ladies and gentlemen. Sony has announced the PlayStation 4 officially today at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that was something I watched the entire announcement of. Sony has officially said and shown a controller that is now known as the DualShock 4 with a touchpad in the middle of the bloody controller.
What the hell?
My question is, how will people be able to use it?
That's the thing that I want to know.
They showed a little bit of what it does. Basically, they showed a puzzle game that is going to be on the PS4, and basically they showed how you can, you know, touch one point and, you know, rearrange things in the puzzle so that you're using, instead of the two analog sticks, you're actually using the touchpad to rearrange things in a game. Now, okay, that's all cool and everything as far as technology goes. It's a kind of a cool thing to add touch controls to a analog controller. But when Sony does it and you stick it in the middle of a gamepad, which is originally known for hardcore gaming, yeah, you're going to turn off a lot of hardcore gamers real quick.
Chris? I do want you not to restrain your swearing. Just be honest.
Okay. Well, okay. There's one better than that. And Toku already knows what I'm talking about on the same controller. Everybody, guess what? The PS4 will let you do a sort of Facebook-ish type thing when you're playing video games. You can press the share button on your DualShock 4 controller and let your friends know what game you're playing.
Okay, who in their fucking mind will... I don't know anyone who will share it. Okay, I can understand sharing if you win something, you reach a certain level of a game and you beat
Or in, like, Black Ops. Hey, I got a 50-0! Go suck a fucking dick, you stupid sons of bitches!
Yeah, it's like, okay, after how many times, like, I've seen... I respect the... I play occasionally, and my brother's in Super Nintendo when I have the time. Lately, I haven't, and kind of been out of it. However, whenever he plays his games, yes, he has a PS3, and whenever he plays whatever Nintendo game system, I watch, because I'm into the graphics. I'm into what goes into it, not the playing aspect. I'm into the full graphics design. I like seeing what's involved with it. That's me in a nutshell. People may not like that I just watch. They try to get me involved with gaming, but it's very hard.
When okay.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
it's better.
Here's the other thing that I gotta say. Okay, you have a winning design with the DualShock 3, and I'll agree, the DualShock in general, and I'll say it, they were freaking smart to make the DualShock. Okay? But when you go DualShock 4 and place a fucking control stick and a control fucking pad in the middle, I must seriously question your sanity, because, okay, you already got fucked over in the PS3 when Lulzsec decided to fuck you over. Yari got fucked over in the PS3 when you decide to go after Geohot and fuck him over. Yari got fucked over when hackers figured out the fucking backdoor code to your fucking PS3 that can't be negated. Yari fucked up with the PSP, where it's basically hacker's paradise. What the fuck makes you think that you're going to be able to do any better on the PS4? And, by the way, you guys just alienated a whole fucking country because of the fact that you decided to name it PS4. You could have went with Orbit. You could have went with Omni. You could have done either of those and protected your asses from retribution from Japan. You were stupid and decided to keep PS4. While I understand the marketing sense behind it, you should have catered to that group. And yes, there's another example that Johnny put in the chat room. You fucked yourself over when you announced that the Vita would only have AT&T 3G. Fuck that. Fuck AT&T. It's the same mistake Apple made when they first released the fucking iPhone. They only released it on the worst fucking provider in the entire fucking country.
They could have gone overpriced, and they could have gone with so many other. Verizon, I think Verizon has better call quality than AT&T. I'm not just saying it because I have it. I better people that have AT&T and they pitch them up about call quality.
Chris?
Well, okay, here's my thing. Now, if Sony were smart, unlike they normally are not, Sony could have been really cool with the Vita and said, hey, it can have 3G on it, and guess what? It's going to be however you want to do it. You've got AT&T, go with AT&T. If you've got Verizon, you can use your Verizon account. If you've got Boost Mobile, you can use your Boost Mobile account. If you have Sprint, you can use your Sprint account. Why limit it when you could have had it wide, freaking open to every carrier? And everyone would probably say, hey, another $5 added to my unlimited plan. Who cares? It's on my plan. It's no big deal. No, you're going to have them sign up for another company for a mere $5 a month, and then you're going to have the whole thing, have people pissed at you for that? I mean, come on.
It's almost like...
Okay. Go ahead, Allison.
It's almost like saying, hey, let's pick out just a random phone company out of the hat. It's like,
what?
It's almost
and
like,
here's the thing. Overseas, they've done it overseas, too. They followed Apple's exact example. When they first released the iPhone, they released it on the absolute worst carriers in their country. Okay? Release it on AT&T here. Release it on Vodafone over in the UK. Release it in all these fucking shitty companies that really don't have the support for it. And then a year later, you bitch and moan because your network is crashing. Well, you fucking idiot. You put this fucking device that can clean your network on only your network. I'm sorry, but you're stupid.
That's okay.
You really are.
People are.
Needless to say, my hate for Sony goes deep. And everyone here knows.
We take it, okay. It goes one further. Let me go ahead and infuriate your pain and your hate for Sony one more time by going a little higher. So, the announcement of the PS4 today was they pretty much showed, well, didn't show, but they told about its tech specifics, what it's going to have in it, and guess what? For those of us who are poor-ass college students or don't make enough at our jobs, we can't play the PS4 unless we have an HDMI-compatible television. So, if you are not fortunate enough to own an HD television, if you don't have the money to afford an HD television, and you have no adapter for a current other TV, you're pretty much screwed and you can't buy it.
Oh, but Johnny brings up a good point. Wii U is the same way, except for one thing, Johnny. The Wii U still has the AV connection on the back. You can still use it on a standard TV. Okay, that pisses me off too, Chris. But, this is the kicker. They announced that the processor inside the PS4 is going to have an S86 core with 8 gigs of shared RAM. First off, an x86 processor, for those that don't know what that means, a 32-bit processor cannot access any more than 4 gigs of RAM. So, you just doomed your system to have half of its available RAM to the system. So, and now you've got an 8-gigabyte system running that can only access 4. You're presumably going to use a Windows type of operating system or maybe a Linux type. So, presumably, it's going to have a lot of overhead, unlike your current XMB, which is smooth and good. So, you're going to get rid of the XMB, which you already have in the Vita. You're going to get rid of the, you're going to cut your RAM in half, which is terrified, by the way. Okay? You're going to run an AMD graphics chip, which is what I understood from the tech demos. Let me see here for a minute. You may have a good amount of RAM devoted to that fucking video card, but the simple fact of the matter is that you're running your processor at full bore without even touching half your RAM. For those that don't know, and I'm just going to go through a little bit of a tech explanation right now, so please forgive me.
You're good.
Okay, 32-bit processors started back in i386 days, which was early 90s. Okay, these 32-bit processors were very good. And for the time, the only operating system that could function was the only operating system that could function the 32-bit processor in its enhanced mode, which allowed it to run all of its capabilities, was Windows 3.1. Then you released Windows 95, and Windows 95 allowed better access to that hardware. Problem, though, each time when you did that, okay, you have a DOS background. Do you know how many bits DOS uses? Anyone?
I forget how many. I really do. It's been a while.
A DOS-based operating system always functions on 16 bits. Good job, Johnny. It's a 16-bit processor. So, by that means, it's a 16-bit operating system, which means you're only accessing half the RAM, half the capabilities of the processor, and then, here's the thing. You're putting a layer over top of that 16-bit environment to do a 32. It worked for years. It worked until about 2001. Okay? And at that time, the x86 line was running. We had i386, i486, i486SX, i486DX, i486 with a 487 math coprocessor. Then we went to Pentium, Pentium Pro, Pentium 2, Pentium 3, Pentium 4. You know, we've had all these different 32-bit processors that were created, and I'm using Intel as a reference point because they're the names that you're going to recognize most. Okay? So you've got all these different processors that are based on the x86 basis of systems. Okay? Then we got up to about 2005, and people were starting to figure that, oh, shit, we're starting to hit the barrier of the available RAM to a x86 processor. The reason for that is 32 bits wide to memory addressing. So that's 32 bits. That gives you only 4 billion available combinations of bits. 4 billion available combinations of bits equals up to about 4 gigabytes. Doing the math on that, that means your maximum available RAM at any time on an x86 processor is 4 gigabytes. Then these companies were like, oh, shit, we got to do something else. They started releasing 64-bit processors. The first 64-bit processor ever released. Taking a couple deep breaths here. The first 64-bit processor ever released was the Itanium by Intel in 2001. And it was a network server stack processor that was literally contained in a cartridge that was about the size of a 4x6 index card. Okay? So you've got this big-ass fucking processor that has built-in RAM and is able to access over 4 gigs of RAM. In fact, your 64-bit processors are able to access, I think the number is 16 terabytes of RAM per processor. Now, you guys have heard me mention Minecraft before. My Minecraft server that I work on, the Conquest server. Our Conquest server runs, and I'm going to pull up the website so I can give you the exact specs. Just give me one second here to pull it up. server info. Okay, so our one server, for the Conquest server that we run, once it loads, is running eight Intel Xeon processors. Each of those a 64-bit processor. Okay? There's 48 gigabytes of RAM. There's solid state drive and a fiber internet connection. So, needless to say, that's pretty damn good. Xeon processor is a 64-bit processor, 8 times that 16 terabyte limit that I told you about, means we have available to us about 100 and some odd gigabytes of RAM, if we really want to push. but we don't.
Right.
Okay. 48 gigabytes is enough for 8. Okay. Now,
right.
Once you get into that that type of stuff, you're talking about servers out there. Google servers are running on a Linux-based system, and they run anywhere from 20 to 70 processors on their board. Each of them Xeon, and all of it's running on a Linux operating system, which allows it to access data so quick. Okay. What we're talking about here, you're limiting part of your you're running your PS4 on last decade's technology. Last decade. Not even last year. Last decade. That's what my entire point in this whole spiel is. You are running it on an x86 processor from last gen. Last processor set. You are stupid. Absolutely 125% stupid if you think your PS4 is going to have the capability to run what you're calling Ultra HD 4K at any appreciable speed. Okay? No. I'm sorry, Sony, but what the fuck you been drinking, you stupid sons of bitches?
I, for one, think that this could be the end for PlayStation.
For once, I have to agree with Heather on that. They just stumped to a new low.
And I'm sorry for being so blunt and yelling and going on that spiel, but you guys got to understand, we're not talking about current generation technology here. We're talking about last decade. There are kids in this world who are young enough and play Call of Duty that will never, ever know about an x86 processor. And yet you're going to use one and try and wow everyone with last gen tech. You're stupid. You're stupid.
Well, wait, Toku, it gets better. So, we have talked about the processor, we have talked about the controller, we have talked about other aspects that Sony is going to be using on their PlayStation 4, but wait, it gets better than that. We are going to have a new tracking system, just like the Kinect is, for the Xbox 360. And I know PlayStation already has the PlayStation Move, but now we're going to have an even better tracking system, better than the Kinect, for the PS4.
Oh, brother.
Kinect failed. Well, and the technology isn't a failure behind the Kinect, but the Kinect game has failed because the simple fact that you have to be X distance to X distance away. And there are people that don't have X distance in their living room. Okay? So, what you're telling me, Sony, is that you're trying to take the Kinect route, which is already proven to be, although the tech is good, has already